Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Shlach. Let's start with a Mivchar Pninim. Ein davar shemoil adam kedas ma'alaso. Nothing is more effective for a person than knowing where they're holding. V'hasagas sichlo bechochma v'idabir bifnehem. Three things. Okay? So one is you need to know where you're holding, and the second one is understanding where you're holding specifically with respect to Chochmah, and speaking in front of the Chachamim, which means that you have a willingness to learn from them. So let's unpack it, because it's actually extraordinarily chashuv. The first one is a concept of, in my view, it's one, the humility of being willing to learn from others, and the other one is the sugya of va'atz baraglaim chote. So with respect to midos, the Ramchal has very intelligently and articulately explicated the sugya of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoir, where he tells us all these different levels in Avodas Hashem, and the implication is that a person shouldn't try to act on a level where they're not holding, because if you try to act in a level that you're not holding, it's not going to be tofes, it won't be successful. So a person who's holding is a zehirus, who tries to be in the world of chassidus, they may have a momentary success, but it's not going to be something that's going to be successful in the long term. So you need to know where you're holding so you don't put yourself in a bad spot. There are a lot of people who are very, very aspirational and sometimes try to be somebody that they're not, and often they end up getting burned. So that's knowing where you are with respect to generally avoda. And then there's a second piece of knowing where you're holding specifically with respect to chochmah. And this makes me think about a grub brought forth in the Evan Shlema that people shouldn't reach too far in learning, because then it becomes a tefisa merubah. So when it becomes a tefisa merubah, then the learning ends up being completely diminished because the quality is worse. So a person, for numerical terms, to simplify, who's holding on a level 6, who's trying to learn things which are on a level 9, they're not getting a lot out of it, and because of they're not getting a lot out of it, they're not going to get any geschmack out of it, and they're not going to get geschmack out of it, they're not going to be able to last. So then that's a problem. This is often when ego gets in the way, right? You know, a person is very, very plugged into learning, but they're not holding at the very highest level. They should be giving extraordinary consideration to what they should be learning. Should not be too overbearing. The hasagas sichlo b'chochmah. They need to understand also their machine. That doesn't mean they try to shortchange themselves, but at the same time, if they're having a hard time understanding Rashi on a Chumash, and Rashi on Chumash is very, very deep, so that could be a sign of intelligence that they don't understand it. If they're having a hard time understanding it, maybe they shouldn't be spending their whole day in the Ketzos and the Nesivos. Just, you know, yidaber bifneihem. So the third one, actually, I think is really interesting, because you need to be willing to talk in front of the Talmidei Chachamim, not only to listen, but also to talk and to try to talk things out and to learn and to interact, even though you may not be on the highest level or anything. You need to be ready to engage and interact and to learn. So sometimes there are people who hold themselves out as super, super advanced, but they're not advancing because they're not engaging. So that's also a very chashuv piece, and you need to, you know, really need to put some time into engaging in such a way. A couple divrei Torah. I'm going to start with a couple vortlach, and then kind of a bigger piece from the Nesivos. The first one is from Reviol Misatmer. This is, it says, V'nisna, v'nislach, ki ko, l'chol ha'am bishkaga. So he has it's kind of a little bit of a melitza. He says, l'chol ha'am bishkaga, he says, a lot of the mistakes that Klal Yisrael can make, individualism Klal Yisrael can make, is they say that they're going to do something because they see everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. So this is what they call in Latin an ad populum argument. If everybody's doing it, that means that I should do it. Well, you know, pokhazi ma'am adavar has some merit, but the everybody's doing it is just a race to the bottom. That's not the way that we like to be. So the next one is another vort. Rav Meir Yisrael me'otzrovtza. So this, I thought, was a beautiful, it refers to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Ocheles Yoshveha. So Eretz Ocheles Yoshveha, it's a land that eats the people who sit there. That's the way that it's described. And he says that in Eretz Yisrael, basically, even more so than anywhere else, you need to always be doing an aliyah. You need to always be kind of progressing, going weiter, as it were. But the people who are stagnant do not succeed. They actually go backwards. Now, this is the famous piece in the Gra where he says the difference between a malach and a human is that a malach is an omid. Beina omdim ha'ela, from, I believe, last week's Haftarah, this idea that the malachim are omdim because they don't have our nisyonos and our bechira and whatnot, but the people, they're always in a state of flux. They're either going mila mila or mata mata because we're a holich, we're always in a state of movement. That idea is specifically applied with respect to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael has a Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes on it. It's just so much more powerful, a place of spiritual energy. And therefore, we really need to be one of those people who is a holich there. Now, on to a beautiful, beautiful Nisivos that asks the classic question. The classic question is, you know, all of the questions with respect to Shlach. It says, first thing, what was really the tafkid of the Meraglim? It says, is it that they want to see what the agricultural state is in the land? And they say, Hashmeinahi, about the land. Does that mean that was a condition precedent for them to really go into Eretz Yisrael? Im HaRazah. And then they go in and they say, HaChazak V'HaRafa. And then they say, well, maybe we're thinking about a military plan. Machanim U'Mivtzarim. You know, what is their military strategy over there? And if that's true, it's hard to understand, because it sounds like then it's just to prove that the strategy makes sense. But at the same time, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu refers to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Dvash. So they already know Hashmeinahi. But by HaChazak V'HaRafa, the military situation, why would you do that? Moshe himself would say, I think, what's true. And we already know the Horish Goyim Gedolim V'Atsumim Mincha V'Arim HaGedolos HaBetzuras B'Shamayim. So we've already gotten some intel, as it were. Why would we need to have sent the Meraglim for that? We already have some intelligence. And what was the chait, right? Because maybe they knew more. And then if it was a chait, why would Yehoshua send Meraglim? So all of these things, it's extraordinarily confusing. And his theory goes as follows. His theory goes that the idea of the Meraglim was to be Mevorer Sufik if it was the time to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's the same sort of question as Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbenu Im Ayin. And it's the same sort of thing as the Chet of the Nisonanim, right? All of these things were just to give a sign, is now the time, right? Because certainly if the time was there, they would go in and they would crush the enemy and they would know, right? And they would be willing to be strong then and just go in, right? And everybody else would look completely intimidated. So that's really the idea. And you look, HaChazok, Yimarafa, what does that mean? How would they appear in front of them? And the same sort of thing is, how would it appear in front of them? And also, Hashmeinahi, if it looks as if it's fat, that's a simen that it's the time to go into Eretz Yisrael, because the weight of the peros, they'll prove, you know, it's like it's getting ready for Klal Yisrael to come in. And that's kind of a simen in Eretz Yisrael. So the chait was that they were trying to be Menasa Kadosh Baruch Hu, and since they were trying to test a Kadosh Baruch Hu, unfortunately, it did not work out. So the idea was that they were trying to really test the waters and they were looking at simonim. But the truth of the matter is, and this is actually like, it's a bomb kasha I didn't really think about too much, is they should have just looked at the Anane HaKavod. If they were really maminim, they shouldn't have done anything else. Like, they go, lech techa charei b'midbar, b'eretz lo zeruya, and then all of a sudden they forget that the Anenei HaKavod are supposed to guide them. They're not supposed to all of a sudden become these scientists. So that's just an idea. You know, this was the Dordea. It's not like people of our generation. And because of that, they were held to such a high standard. And we forget that they already had a compass. They already had their GPS, and they were looking for other signs. So, Tamim Tia El Meshem Al Kacha, we try not to know the Asidos, we try not to get too involved in the Hishtadlus when we're holding on such a high level. Maybe where we're holding, we get more in Hishtadlus. We understand that maybe that Netziv that says that the closer you get to Kedusha, the less Hishtadlus sometimes you have to do. So, that's the Mahalich. A couple of stories. There's a story about Rav Yisrael Yaakov Lubitschinsky and another Gadol who were getting on a train ride to go to a chasana. I thought this was very, very interesting. They were on their way to a chasana, and they both decided it was worthwhile to go to the chasana, and there were two trains going to wherever this chasana was, and they accidentally missed, for whatever circumstances, they missed the first train. Second train was at midnight, or very early at night. They got up, and it came time to go to the wedding, and this particular Rav didn't want to go. It was unbelievable, because he made his plans, and he invested a time, all of a thing, and decided, they knock on his door. He said, I'm not going to go. And they said, why was that? I mean, they had to push him. He said, look, the truth is, every day of my life, the night is made for learning. Every day of my life, I go to bed at midnight, saying I need to have strength to be able to learn in the morning. I can't learn any later. I need to be of the strength to do my avoda in the next day. And if a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees me go to this wedding, and now I'm so late at night, then he's going to say, look, you're willing to stay up late for a chasana, but you're not willing to stay up for learning. And he kind of made a little kavachomer. And I don't know fully what to make of the whole story. I think that it's very important for us to do kavachomers with our avoda generally. I think that, for example, I know somebody who, when they run, they want to run to a base medrash because they say, if I'm going to go run for exercise, I'm going to run to a base medrash. Meaning, this is what my legs were made for. Or I, for a while, part of the decision to wear a tie to daven, part of it was I said that on a day, if I have an important meeting that day, I'm going to put on a jacket and tie. I'm not going to put on a jacket and tie for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, those sorts of kavachomers are very, very powerful. We have to use them in a thoughtful way and always a reasonable and practical way, because otherwise we sometimes end up becoming like Hanhaga Tova monsters, but at the same time, they're instructive for the way we're supposed to live. So just a very, very nice story. Another story about Rav Steinman. They were talking with him about somebody, and Rav Steinman said, oh, that guy lives in Rehovos, right? And then he gave him something. I said, wait, I'm old, and I can remember that this man lives in Rehovos, but I'm forgetting my Gemaras. I should be remembering my Gemaras. And, he gently gave himself Musar. I think that the best part of that story is the unsolicited and honest giving yourself, Musar to try to really grow. And it doesn't matter where you're at the summit of the mountain or in the valley or at the top of the mountain like Rav Steinman. The idea is that we're always trying to grow and we're always giving ourselves a little bit of a push to say, you can do a little bit more and here's my proof. So another Kavachomer kind of story and another way for us to continue going weiter. Thank you. Have a wonderful Shabbos.